Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, pop star Madonna took steps to stop the registration of Material Girl as a trademark that's trying to be used by San Antonio Brewer. This happened just last month. If you remember, Madonna's Material Girl single went to number 2 in the Billboard charts on 1985. And filings of the trademark complaints rose by 3% to now, from last year, 2016, rose to 3,186. My goodness.
I think Madonna needs to let it go.
No, this wasn't by her. Oh. This is overall. But do you know,
I just mean in general.
But do you know if your website domain name is in compliance? Addressing trademark and copyright law is board certified in intellectual property law, Mark Stein, from the law firm of Mark Stein Law. I'd like to welcome our legal panel host. First of all, good afternoon, Gary Singer.
Philip Bell, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Another day in paradise. And, of course, not least, Gary Ostro. Good afternoon,
says
Gary.
Says you. Happy to be here, says you only, but I'll take it.
And, of course, Aaron Cohn, who's filling in for Michael Santucci.
The Tooch.
That's right, but he will be back next week. He really wanted to be here for this segment. He did try everything, but apparently because of the, I guess they're having some sort of marathon or something.
Yeah, my understanding is Michael had actually clerked in your office for, what, 14 years before he went to his own practice?
Is that right?
Now, you and Michael Santucci, one of our hosts, practice similar areas of law, right, intellectual property. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much.
It wasn't
great
forthcoming,
to be
admitting
so what,
that.
So what is intellectual? Intellectual property.
Intellectual property is patent, trademark, copyright, computer and internet law, unfair competition, trade secrets, all of that falls under the rubric of intellectual property law.
That's a big rubric.
And you are board certified.
I am board certified intellectual property law.
Right, and that makes you an expert.
That does make me an expert, so says the Florida Bar.
So this is a matter of record in the law here. And the first question I have for you, and it's a top question, if I was able to register my business name with the state and or obtain a domain name, does that mean I'm not infringing on anyone else's trademark?
So the answer is no, but you've asked about four questions in one. So the biggest misunderstanding in trademark law is that people believe that when they register their name as a corporate name or as a fictitious name, they have a trademark.
Right.
That is not the case. To register your name as trademark, you need to register with a state trademark office like the state of Florida or the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And to use your name as a trademark, you need to use it as an adjective. We're going back to grammar school now.
Uh-oh.
It has to identify a good or a service. So Nike sneakers would be usage of a trademark. Nike's would not. A domain name is nothing more than a point on the internet, a numeric point on the internet. It's not a trademark. You can use a corporate name or a domain name as a trademark, though. Some companies do. Some companies don't. Coca-Cola does. Procter & Gamble doesn't, for example.
So it has to describe something.
It has to identify specific goods or services, and it has to distinguish the source of those goods or services from others.
So, okay, that's confusing.
I think people often confuse copyright and trademark. What is the difference between the two?
So a trademark is a name, a symbol, a phrase, anything that identifies the source or origin of products and distinguishes them from other sources or origins. And you can think of all kinds of things that are trademarks. If you have a Rolex watch, you see the name Rolex, you know it identifies watches. If you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you see that emblem, you know it's a Mercedes-Benz car. A copyright is any type of original work of authorship, any type of computer program, a book, a movie that is, and this is a wonderful legal definition, that is fixed in a tangible medium of expression, which essentially means you put it in some permanent form.
4 minutes. You know, copyright issues have been in the news, especially for music, the Marvin Gaye and Blurred Lines in particular. And also, I understand that you represented one of my favorite bands in the 70s, Foghat. How cool is that? Yeah, Foghat.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But when it comes to copyright issues, when it comes to music, my goodness, the Marvin Gaye family, who had rights to the music, that was, ripped off by Blurred Lines, which is a great song, by the way. I enjoyed that song as well. They got a tremendous amount of money. They got millions of dollars and continue to do so, I understand.
So copyright, and first of all, copyright lasts for an exceptionally long period of time today. Copyright actually lasts today 70 years after the death of the author of the copyright, the owner of the copyright. So in the case of Marvin Gaye, his estate will carry on for 70 years beyond his death of ownership of those copyrights. Now, damages in copyright cases, you're entitled to a couple different measures of damages. One of them is statutory damages, and it's a range. And it can go up to $30,000, and if a court thinks the infringement's intentional, you can increase it to $150,000 per infringement. So if you think of, and if the court really thinks it's been an exceptional case, you could increase that to $300,000 per act.
So that's big bucks. So what do you mean? What's an infringement? I mean, for example, my column, a couple of years ago, we caught someone putting it on their website like it was theirs.
But I didn't.
But they're not selling it. Is that an infringement? Like, at what point does it become something that's actionable?
So you can make fair use of a copyright, and fair use is not infringement, is not a violation. In fact, everyone probably remembers the dancing baby video that went viral on YouTube.
And they were
actually sued, and the Ninth Circuit said that's not copyright infringement. So the defense of fair use applies when things are being used for commentary, for educational purposes, for criticism. Those are typically
so
fair
uses. So making
uses.
Money is the key?
In copyright, one of the elements of fair use is, are you making money? One of the other elements is, how much of it are you using? If they took two sentences out of your blog and used it, it's different than if they took the entire blog. And one of the other elements is, have they, by using it, decreased your market value to whatever it is, whatever the copyright material is? So one of the questions right away is, are they making some kind of fair use of it, or are they making a use of it where they're benefiting from it and they're hurting you?
So in effect, there has to be a damage element to it. I mean, I'm oversimplifying, but it's complicated stuff.
There has to be, in any case where you're making money from someone else's copyright work, you probably have a problem and you ought to go get permission.
Okay, so you just can't, basically, you can't steal someone's mind, in effect, for your own profit.
Right. I take a photograph. I'm a photographer. You shouldn't be able to use that and make money from it without either me making money or my permission.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Sure. If I read an article, I have to give credit where credit is due, as an example, not take ownership, as you pointed out. So if right now I talk about an article, I have to tell where it is, New York Times, as an example, and even the writer, as well, to be in compliance.
But that's only going to apply if the show actually starts making money.
That's true, too.
I want to interject something. I'm afraid to, actually, but I'll overcome my fear.
Make it quick, Ashra.
Thank you for not rushing me. George Harrison, I remember that My Sweet Lord, one of the greatest songs ever produced, and I was a big fan. He was sued for copyright infringement.
Yeah.
I would assume it doesn't matter. Intent has nothing to do with it. Right.
Well, intent does in relation to damages.
Well, let's say that subconsciously George Harrison stands on his own. He's not the kind of guy that needs to rip off the melody of My Sweet Lord from anybody, but that was the allegation, and it was litigated, and I believe he ended up having to pay damages. His defense, I believe, was if he did, and if it was that similar, that it crossed that line, that it was strictly subconscious. So in that respect, does that mitigate damage if he made an extra $100 million because it wasn't by design? Or where does the intent factor play in that example? If that question is approved by the board, can we get an approval?
You know, George is cool, but he's no Ringo.
There you go.
Just saying.
Are you kidding me?
Hey. Back Let's, off Ringo.
We're going to continue that later.
But in all seriousness, that is an interesting question.
Well, you're going to get lower levels of damages where someone has not intentionally taken a work. So, for example, somebody decides that they like a song and they take the song and they copy and they start reselling it. Clearly, that's intentional. Somebody that inadvertently copied someone else or violated their copyright is maybe found to be infringing, but that's why you have a damages range.
But I think George Harrison, there's a presumption that he didn't rip it off because he's got this inherent super talent, genius writing ability. So I think he'd get the benefit
you
without
really
buying
like
in.
George Harrison.
Oh, I think the Beatles are immortal in that they've shaped the whole...
Does this apply to comedians? Like if a comedian steals a bit?
It applies to anything that you can think of. It applies to computer programs. It applies to greeting cards.
Really? So if someone takes a piece of code?
Speaking of
comedians, early in my career, I sued Rodney Dangerfield because he stole one of my friend's jokes and performed up in Atlantic City, and I served him.
Not enough he gets no respect?
No, yeah, that was it. That was for me. No, it was not that good, but it was pretty good. I think it was like my child psychologist really doesn't treat me well. The kids are real brutal.
Right.
No.
I went to a child psychologist.
Aaron might have an actual question.
Right. I don't tell it as well.
I would imagine that there's an element of personality or sentimentality, I guess is a better word, that goes along with creating a work. I mean, people put their blood, sweat, tears in this. Are there damages?
Stealing a band name now. See, this guy's all over it. I don't hear you guys reaming him.
Are there damages?
This panel's unbelievable.
Are there damages available? For the emotional factor, that maybe, you know, people feel like they're...
For the emotional violation.
Emotional distress. That's a count, right?
They steal their mind. They steal their work product, their efforts.
Is that actionable? Right? Do you get that back for people?
You don't under the Copyright Act, but that's why the ranges are so great, and that's why a judge or jury can increase damages. The edge of the statutory damage range is $30,000, but that can be increased to $150,000 or $450,000. Oh, okay. So you can imagine how damages grow exponentially. That's how the music industry has gotten such large damages award against people. You download 1,000 songs, so each song is an act of infringement. You did it intentionally, so you go 450 times 1,000. The numbers get pretty big.
What is the put you on the spot now. What is the largest known damage award for a copyright infringement in the music industry? If you can
in a ballpark figure, sure.
Yeah.
The music industry, I don't know. I
guess, in any industry. I'll make
well,
it easier for you.
The biggest award was actually here in Florida, a lawyer a little north of here.
Why am I not surprised it was in South Florida?
It was north of Palm Beach County, but William Gary got an award against Disney, which was on appeal, was reduced tremendously for over $260 million.
That was
Santucci
Michael's
was
case.
Involved
yes.
in the case.
Right,
wow,
exactly.
I should be asking him, but
on
thanks
that
for
note,
answering that.
I think we need to go to a quick break, right, Phil?
Yes, we do. And, you know, coming back, it saves you money. Listen, if you're in business, it's cheaper to be proactive than retroactive. And when we come back, I have a question regarding, I'd want to begin using a new trademark or service mark in conjunction with my business. What actually should I do?
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air. I'm Philip Bell, the moderator, along with Gary Singer, legal panel host, Gary Astro, legal panel host, and filling in for Michael Santucci is Aaron Cohn, a fine attorney. When we left the program, I asked a question. I'm going to repeat it. If I, you know, it saves me money to be proactive than retroactive, and I'd like to begin using a new trademark or service mark, if you will, in conjunction with my business. What should I do?
Well, step one, you should hire a lawyer, and you should have the lawyer perform a trademark search. Ideally, it should be a comprehensive search because you want to know, can you register the mark? And you also want to know, if I use and adopt the mark, am I potentially going to violate anyone else's rights?
Mm-hmm.
Step two, would, assuming that the search clears, you would want to register or apply to register the mark with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. That assumes that you're using the mark in interstate commerce. If you're using it just in the state of Florida, you'd want to register with the Florida Trademark Office. Every state has its own trademark office. And step three would be to start using it, because ultimately in the United States, trademark rights really begin with use. And the more you use it, the more you advertise it, the more you promote it, the stronger the mark becomes.
And are these services done on a flat fee?
We charge, and most firms charge, flat fees for trademark registration and prosecution. The only time that becomes an hourly is if the trademark office rejects a trademark application. One of the advantages of searching is you usually can anticipate if you're likely to get a rejection. Where you have really generic or descriptive words, a lot of times you will get rejections from the trademark office.
Gary Singer came up with a unique logo for our listeners. That is belegalbuzz.com with the B. You even noticed it as well. And I'd like to use the logo on a T-shirt or other clothing. Can I obtain a trademark registration?
I actually had it tattooed on my chest. I'll show you after the show. For all our face.
It's kind of sunken in.
We're on Facebook Live, but I'm going to show it now. No,
right.
Maybe later.
So whether you can register a mark depends on what goods and services it identifies. You couldn't register computers for computer services. Belegalbuzz for radio services, probably. What you have to keep in mind always when you want to register a trademark is how are you going to use the mark. So the example you used, putting it on a T-shirt.
Right.
As odd as this will sound, use on a T-shirt or a hat is ornamental use, not trademark use. If you wanted to have trademark use on a garment, for apparel, you'd have to sew it into a label. You'd have to put on a hang tag. For a trademark use on a good, on some physical product, you actually have to affix the mark to the product in some way.
A question. If somebody is using my trademark that it's not clear or convincing, I don't know what the standard is, but let's just say it's confusingly similar. That's my term, confusingly similar.
that trademarked?
Not yet, but it will be momentarily. How do people look out for that type of IP, their property? Do they have people that actually listen to or have some in with radio, global radio, where they know by statistics that your song is being played in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, and you're not getting royalties for that because it hasn't been reported? Is there some system that keeps track of those types of things, where you have royalties or there are infringements? How do you keep track of that with 800,000 radio stations by using a song, for example?
Google, maybe.
Maybe, maybe not. Is there a system for protecting, if I'm counsel for, I'll use the Beatles as an example. How do I know how often, and that could relate to merchandising as well, the money's
how
in
do
merchandising.
You catch them?
How do you detect? How do you detect and stay on top of that stuff?
So let's go back to the beginning of the question. You're right. The standard for trademark infringement is likelihood of confusion. So you got that right.
No way. Wow, I'm so good.
You get a cookie.
That was all you.
But the question you asked is really an enforcement question that goes more to copyrights. So how you catch them depends on the nature of the copyright. So, for example, if you're a photographer, every digital image has watermarks embedded in it now, and there's very good software crawlers that go out on the web and find images all over the place. Hmm. Songs are harder. You have to find people that are listening and that are using, but there are groups that enforce a lot. So most of the publishing rights, that is, most of the public performance rights in America are in worldwide are controlled by two companies, ASCAP and BMI. And ASCAP and BMI have huge investigative forces that go out, spend time on the web, go to bars, go all over, go to concerts, and they look for these types of violations.
But there has to be so much abuse out there that there's no way these, no matter how high-end or technological these guys have in detection, that 70, 80% of it goes unnoticed or unpunished. Would that be fair, or am I overly stating?
It would be hard to quantify, but a very large amount of it is no one ever catches it.
Yeah, I would think so.
At the same time, you'd be surprised. Like even my little column, I have readers writing in, and sometimes realtors take them and put them on their websites or whatever because they're about real estate.
Who's going to know? Who's going to know?
My readers write me and say, I saw your article on a website.
Right.
It happens all the time, and I tell the folks at Sunset. And I have two questions, if you don't mind. My kids listen to Kids Bop, which is like a cover band. How do they get away with that? It's got to cost them a fortune. Basically, Kids Bop, you know, takes very popular top 10 songs and makes them kids friendly, and they're pretty good actually. My little kids listen to them. How do they get away with that? How can they afford that?
Who said it's not legal?
Well, that's what I'm asking. How is that legal?
Well, if they don't have permit, if they're using copyrighted material without permission, it's a violation.
I got to imagine they have permission, right?
So typically, what you do is you secure licenses, and copyright and trademark licensing is, especially in the music world, copyright licensing is an enormous part of that business. So you would go and secure permission, some limited license from the owners of the copyright, and if you want to make modifications, it's going to be a very limited license, and they would give you a license to do that specific thing and only that, and that license may be limited in a lot of other ways, geography, amount of listenership,
gotcha.
And it may be tiered up.
So they go ask permission and pay for it. And my second question is, I was always wondering that, thank you. My second question is, you know, the Wild Stallions are starting to get hot. Bill and Ted come to you and say, hey, how do we protect ourselves? So what would you do for
that?
That's
actually a good question.
Well, there's several things. So Wild Stallions as a brand is entitled to trademark protection. So we would search and make sure no one else has it, and then for all the branding type services, music services, apparel, we'd apply to register a trademark for the brand. As to the music, copyright is as soon as you fix the copyright work, as soon as you make it permanent, you own copyright in it. But you can't sue for copyright infringement without a copyright registration. So the suggestion is to get a copyright registration, which is very inexpensive and very easy,
okay,
and to get it quickly. Because if you get it quickly, you're entitled to the types of damages we talked about earlier, statutory damages and attorney's
fees.
That's
if it's registered.
If it's registered within a certain period of time.
What if you're not? If you don't register it, you don't get any damages?
There's still – you can always get actual damages, and you can always argue that you didn't learn about the infringement until for some reason you didn't learn about the infringement, and that would get you around the statutory damage issue. But what you really want to do, if you're creating a lot of copyright material – and I have a lot of clients that do, you want to have a program of registering things promptly.
Is there like a statute of limitations, like a certain amount of time they have to do it within?
For copyright, there's no statute of limitations. There is a statute of limitations to sue, which is 3 years, but sometimes people don't learn about things so quickly.
Mark, I got to tell you, this is amazing stuff. How would Bill and Ted get a hold of you?
Wait, one question. You had a very interesting question.
I did. I'm going to try to interject it in between Gary Singer's inhaling and exhaling. My question would be the Napster, for example. I was thinking about Napster and the potential infringements that might be involved. How did that eventually work itself out, if it is worked out, and what challenges were brought by the whole concept of Napster?
Well, Napster was sued for direct copyright infringement, and Napster was found liable and shut down. The harder issue was the next.
Oh, they're done? Napster's done?
Yeah, for years. The harder issue was the next level, the peer-to-peers, where because Napster was directly infringing. They were giving you infringing
songs.
But
what did they think they were doing? Did they think they were just going to get away with it? Because it seemed pretty apparent that they were over the line.
They made a lot of money, and I don't know how much of it they got to keep.
Right.
That
goes right back to your question earlier,
Gary. There we go.
Gary.
That's right. See
they
that?
Made some money.
There
now
is
back
some
to
sanity.
My question.
Right.
How do we get a hold of you?
So getting a hold of me is very easy. The easiest way is email, which would be Mark with a K at marksteinlaw.com, or my website. website, which is marksteinlaw.com.
It's a good website, actually. I was looking at it. It's very good blogs, actually.
It is. We need a copyright be legal.
You do your own blogging?
Yeah.
You
do your own blogging.
Wow, good for you.
You write that stuff yourself? Very good stuff. Well, I encourage you all to go check it out. I want to thank you all for listening in. Don't copy this show. Well, I guess you can. Get the word out and copy the
copy
show.
Copy Gary Singer's questions because they're very common.
And it takes less ink than Gary Ostro's. But
yes.
On that note, folks, have a safe drive home and
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review. Featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.